Hello and welcome to ABW Radio Live. I am your host, Chris, back again like the Renegade Master. I'm joined today by Drew and Carl. Good evening, good afternoon, evening. I don't know what it is. Hello.
It's not good, but just hello.
It's as Mr. Andrew would say, it's not a goodly morning at all, or afternoon or evening. Right, well, that was fun. That was fun, wasn't it? We're gonna try and pick our way through the bones of that. I don't care, so I'm just gonna put that out there right now. Oh, I haven't muted myself. That's how much I don't care.
Did you mute yourself again? You
No.
just okay.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Yeah, I'd just say. Let's get the FA Cup run at one. Let's finish fourth because we all know it's inevitably going to happen by some fluke. And let's get into the summer because I'm done with this season and everything about it. Don't even know where to start. Carl, thoughts?
Shit.
I agree.
I usually, I'm not as positive as you, Chris, and I know that I tend to turn to you to find the positives in certain things. And sometimes, even after a loss, you can look at something and think, it's not too bad. And I don't know if this hurts more because we play them. It's just an abject performance where we just didn't turn up. Like, for me, if you look at all the results over the weekend, you know, Man City drawing, Manchester United drawing, Liverpool losing against Swansea. Now, you think you're looking at those results, and that should have been Arsene Wenger's team talk. Like, just those results there said, look, Liverpool lost, Man City drew today, Man United drew today. We can actually catch them. And it just seems that they come out and the lethargic performance yet again is that we just don't start quickly. And I know we won our last two games, but two games doesn't change anything that's been going on for the whole of the season. It's just poor performance after poor performance over and over again. If you can't turn up for your rivals, like these is our greatest rivals. If you can't turn up to a game of football and just want it more than them, then for me, you shouldn't be in the team. Like, I don't understand. Yes, I understand we're playing away, and I do understand that Tottenham, unfortunately, they're playing very good this season. You know, as much as I hate them, sometimes you have to give them credit. But we
No,
just
you don't.
but we just didn't turn up today. I just don't understand how you cannot turn up to a game of that magnitude. Like, it's just weird. We should have been 2-0 down in the first 20 minutes. You know, I know Ali missed and so did Eriksen, but you know, Cech kept us in that game today. He did really keep us in that game. That game could have been easily 4, maybe 5. Going forward, for me personally, we offered nothing. Like, we just didn't offer anything going forward. And I'm just sick of time and time again, we just not turning up. Like, why do they not care as much as I do? Do you know what I mean? And that's what I think. I just think to myself, you know, they should care. They really, really should care. But it seems that they don't. I'm not saying they don't. It seems that they just don't. And for me today, there were so many things wrong that Arsene Wenger, who is, you know, probably the greatest club, sorry, the greatest manager in our club history. If he can't see things that are wrong, then I just don't understand how we can justify him staying. I mean, I know it's a whole different subject, but talking about the match today, but today he really should have got that team geared up, and it just seems that he didn't.
Yes, some salient points made there. Drew, what do you think about Julian Nagelsmann being the first manager in Hoffenheim's history to lead them to the champ? No, well, hang on, sorry, that's another podcast. Yeah, thoughts of today. I mean, you know, it was poor, wasn't it? I mean, it's didn't actually think the first half was that bad. Well, actually, it was that bad. Both sides were awful. I didn't think there was anything between the two sides. But overall, when you look back at it, you know, a mad 5 minutes cost us the game, but for Petr Cech, it could have been a lot worse.
Think from the start, you could ask, you know, if we're going into the match in a position where we're going to say that we can allow Spurs to have the ball, and we clearly did because I think we had maybe 40% of the ball all told, roughly. I think then from the get-go, you have to question why do certain players get the nod to start? If you're going to play a counter-attacking system, why is Olivier Giroud starting through the middle? Another one is Rob Holding's been arguably our best defender over the last couple of weeks, so why was he benched in an incredibly important fixture where depends on if you could have used maybe Monreal instead of Gibbs and used Holding in the back three. You could have maybe dropped Gabriel and put Holding in instead, as Gabriel was directly responsible for three chances, including the penalty. So I think it's another debate, but I just think he's got the team sheet wrong again. I think for me, that's the biggest issue. I think apart from the one shot Giroud had, that team effort in the second half, he didn't really do anything. And our best chances throughout the match came from when Sanchez came in the middle from deeper and bypassed Giroud and created it himself. I think that's, for me, I think that's a little bit telling. And Sanchez didn't even really have a great game, but our best chances came from when he was able to affect more of the play when he wasn't chucked out and left isolated. So I think this, again, key tactical decisions went the wrong way. I thought some of the players who started shouldn't have. I'm not necessarily saying we shot ourselves in the foot from the get-go necessarily, but these are just things that, you know, if you can sit down and take the time to analyze it and look at it, you really would have to think that it just doesn't make any sense, you know. So I don't know. I don't think we gave ourselves the best chance of really winning, I think. And someone else brought up a point on my commentary. So I had Lee Dixon was one of my announcers, and he was saying that Wenger's come out and said publicly multiple times that, you know, Ox's future is through the middle. So why wasn't Ox playing through the middle today? You know, why wasn't Bellerin starting out on the right? And then why wasn't Ox playing centrally? So if you really feel like that's where he's going to be at his best, that why aren't you playing him there now? Why are you waiting till next season and the season after that or the season after that? Like little niggling things that when you add them up over time, they compound themselves into a bigger problem. I think today it was a bigger problem. And just more importantly, I think Carl really hit the nail on the head that when there's too many times now where we have big matches where the players don't seem up for it from the beginning. I don't think we necessarily started incredibly poorly, but it wasn't, you could still look at them and tell that they weren't giving 100%. At no point throughout the match, maybe of the 10-minute spell, did our players really genuinely look like they really gave everything 150%. I think for me, that's one of the biggest things we've struggled with over the years. The last half decade has been a big problem. So there's a lot of problem areas, and I don't want to get on too much of a rant already to start, but it's just, it's frustrating, but it's also not really shocking. You know, it's just everything. So.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know. I don't really know where to begin dissecting this game, really, because I mean, it's just, I suppose to start with the lineup as we do most weeks. Carl, any surprises for you? I mean, I think the Rob Holding thing, I think Drew makes a good point, although I do understand probably why he wasn't put in. I think he wasn't put into this game because it is a sort of game that can make or break a player's career. I mean, you know, you stick a youngster in, he has a shocker and it's career done. So I can kind of understand that one. Nacho within the back three, again, you know, he was the only real choice left. But I mean, Kieran Gibbs, I presume, started because of the North London link. You know, I'm sick and tired of people slating Olivier Giroud. We'll come on to that later. But he was a strange choice given how we played. And as Drew said there, Oxlade-Chamberlain in this wide role when clearly sort of better in midfield. And we will come on to other individuals in a moment. But did you find that lineup remotely strange? Was there any surprises in it for you?
Yes, I really didn't think that Gabriel would start the game. I thought Rob Holding would start. I didn't think that Monreal would start in the back three. You know, Arsene Wenger tries something once and sometimes if it comes off, that's it. He's going to stick with it. Now, I don't believe that he should have remained in the back three. Monreal, I think he should have played as a wing back, and I can see why he put him in the back three. I genuinely can, but he shouldn't have. It doesn't work. Like you said, Ox playing as a wing back, his main position should be on the inside. He really, if you're going to do that, you got to play as a three. But at the same time, because we play Ozil, it restricts us in how we play. Hindsight's a wonderful thing, and maybe people will say, oh, I wouldn't have started Ozil. But then if he doesn't start Ozil, people then start saying, oh, but he's our second best player. So it genuinely is a catch-22. But as we know, Ozil goes missing in these big games. So maybe coming up from the bench would have been better for him. Giroud, for me, was the biggest surprise. I just don't, in this sort of game, in this magnitude, this wasn't the game for him. You know, and I'm sure we'll talk about Giroud later, but it just wasn't the game for him. In the way that we play, we didn't play towards his strengths, but at the same time, I do think he should adapt his game to play the way the whole team plays, but then he's restricted because he's not as fast as we want him to be. And there's times where our players are bypassing Giroud, and there's sometimes when the play is ahead of Giroud. Now, if you're our main striker, why is Giroud not ahead of the ball? Why is Giroud not right up there with the defenders? I hate seeing Giroud in centre mid. Like, it really pisses me off. But sometimes I just want him not to help out, be up front, let the defenders have to sit back on their 18-yard box. I don't get it. But as for the lineup, I think the only shock was Gabriel starting and Gibbs and Giroud. Those were the shockers for me.
Yeah, again, I find it hard to disagree with much of that. Drew, before we start drilling individuals, is there any... which sort of side of the fence do you sit on? Do you sit on the... You're a deep thinker. I know you well. Even across the whole of the world that separates us, I know you're a deep tactical thinker in the way you watch football and the way you appreciate football, which is why I like you, amongst other reasons, of course. But do you think it is as deep as that? Is it the tactical thinking element of it, or is it purely that one side wanted it more? Because you get the English mentality over the tactical mentality. Which sort of end do you sit on the balancing scale?
I don't think you can sit on any end. I think it's both. I do think if you look at the balance of play, I do think most players didn't come out and... Thanks, John. The players didn't come out and want it as much as they should have, considering the ramifications and the magnitude of the match. But more importantly, I genuinely feel that tactically we weren't correct. I think, again, as much as I've appreciated Mesut over the years, I don't think he should have started the match. The same way I think that Giroud shouldn't have started the match. It's not because I don't think Ozil isn't capable, but if we're going to play without the ball more, then why are you playing with a player who wants to control the pace and slow down with the ball, when you're not going to get nearly as much of it? Ozil basically did nothing all match except for that one good ball he played in the last 20 minutes of the match. Other than that, Ozil was a passenger as much as Giroud was. So that should be a little bit more indicative to you of what we maybe should have done. Maybe you could have gone with is maybe you start Welbeck up front at center forward with Walcott and Sanchez as that front three, because then you have three players who can be interchangeable going forward. And that's the only way you're going to really dig out center backs like Alderweireld and Vertonghen, because if you play Giroud as we did, Alderweireld and Vertonghen look at Giroud and say that's meat and drink for us, because we're both quicker than Giroud, we're just as strong as Giroud, and we're just as good in the air as Giroud. So what does Giroud bring to the table in that situation is ever going to give Tottenham center back issues? And he didn't, and I think it showed through the match. And like I said before, the only times that they were troubled is when Alexis came in centrally and gave them a bit of pause, because he was more direct with pace. Even that, just that one long ball over the top that saw Sanchez beat them for pace through, that led to a half chance because it gave them something that they couldn't deal with effectively, as well as someone who's like a target man like Giroud is. I think from just that point alone, we made it easier for Spurs. And I think I don't know. I think if you make just that one change, you know, you maybe give Spurs, they just can't play out of the back as well. When we pressed them early on, they struggled to get out of the back, as you saw. But then once we stopped doing it, we made it easier for them. So if you play someone like Welbeck there all match long, or even Walcott instead of Ozil, they can press more routinely, more quickly as well. We may have given them issues for longer periods of time. The other thing is that we made it too easy for their wingbacks to get forward. You know, Trippier and Davis, I think it was Davis that played. They're not even first choice left and right back. And even they really had, more often than not, they weren't even really troubled. If you brought more pace with them, you know, with Welbeck and with Walker, then maybe even they don't get forward as much as they did. You know, Davis got forward a lot during that first half to try to give service into the box because he wasn't really challenged. And half that is because you're playing Ox in the wingback role that he's not suited to. You know, if you play Bellerin there, you know, Bellerin in theory can cover Davis a lot better. He's quicker than Davis is. He's defensive-minded more than Ox is. You know, just again, just tactical decisions, maybe some selection issues where the 3-4-3 can work if you put the right players in the right roles, but I just don't think, you know, I just don't think that the right players were selected for us to really put that formation and then that approach through, you know, to the ringer and have it come out on top. So
agreed. Yeah, before we talk about some of the individuals, because we will talk about some of the individuals, Carl, is it now as straightforward as you know, do we play the strongest side in the league still now? You know, do we still try and push on for this sort of top four element? Because I mean, there's no taking away. It's a poor result today. I don't think many people were actually that surprised. Weirdly, but you know, we've got Manchester United at home next week. Obviously, they'll have a Europa League game in week. I mean, you mentioned it earlier on, the saving grace is the fact that no team's really pulled away from us tonight. Obviously, you've got Liverpool to play tomorrow. Is that now just the target? Just go again, play a strongest side and just try and get as many wins as possible and throw everything into this FA Cup?
This is the only choice, to be honest. The fact that we potentially could win some silverware is the only saving grace for this season. I mean, had we not made the final, you're looking at this is a really terrible season. The fact that we can win a trophy is brilliant. We've got nothing to lose. At the end of the day, the higher up the table we finish, the more money we get. And for me, that's the only reason why, you know, we should be sort of looking. I think the top four's gone. I really do. But the higher up the table we finish, the more money from the Premier League you get. And I don't want to finish seventh. You know, I don't want Everton finishing above us. Can you imagine if we finish below Everton? I mean, Arsenal Twitter at the moment is probably, I haven't even gone on there, and I can imagine how bad it is. But if we finish seventh behind an Everton team, that's really not going to be very good, not even just for morale for next season. I mean, going into next season, you know, we finished seventh. That doesn't even sound right. It doesn't, you know, for me, you know, Arsenal finished seventh doesn't fit well with me. So there's no point protecting players for the FA Cup, because how many of our players actually going for a challenge in all sorts anyway? So it's not like they're going to get broken legs. But for me, it's just, I don't know, the abject performance. We've got pride to play for. You know, I don't want to lose to Manchester United when we play them. You know, I don't want to lose to Everton at home. I don't want to lose to Stoke away. I don't want to lose to Southampton away. And these are the games that we've got to play. And I want to beat all those teams. I never, ever want Arsenal to lose, ever. And for me, you've got to play for pride. You've got to play for the shirt. No team wants to finish as low down the table as we're going to finish this season. And it's just, for me, you've got to not think about the FA Cup. The FA Cup's in May. It's far away. You've got to think about the here and now. And the here and now are the remaining fixtures that we've got, Man United's, your Stokes, your Southamptons and your Evans.
Tough times lay ahead. Well, while you look at it, this slightly amused me just to take away from the pain of what we're discussing. I just turned my head to look at my TV. Just as Arsene popped up for his interview, my Skybox says, "Your Skybox is now preparing to go into standby," which made me chuckle greatly. It's the small things in life, as I've said to many women. Carl, sorry, Drew, I want to start to talk about some of the individual players and performances. Now, I feel like I pick on you every time I'm on here because
Please, Jesus, don't say what you're about to say. I beg you.
Okay, would you like a player that's not German?
No, you can. Go ahead. It's fine.
Oh, we have to, don't we? This might not be a popular view. And you know, I do love the man at times. But for me, I'm done with Mesut Ozil. I'm done with his demeanor. I'm done with the excuses. I'm done with the successful passes. For me, it's not all about passion with a U and an N on the end. It's not all about heart and desire. It's not all about showing it on the pitch. For me, that comes as a separate, you know, you either are that type of player or you're not. But the one thing you do expect is a player to do his job. And for me, there's too many games recently and indeed probably since Christmas where Mesut just doesn't do his job. And if he was at a bigger club, a la Real Madrid, oh, look, hang on, he got sold. I'm just not sure that he can cut it when it really matters in a league that is a lot tougher, sorry, than La Liga. So, and what I mean by that, I am dissing the Spanish league, but I mean the continental style of a league where, let's be honest, it's Real Madrid or Barcelona every single season. There isn't a lot of pressure. You come to a club where you are expected to be the number 10, the man who pulls all the strings and everything goes through you. I don't think he can handle that pressure. And I think even in the German national team, and you'd be better to speak of this than I am, I feel like he's got a lot of really world-class players around him. He hasn't got that at Arsenal. And I think it's showing up. And I don't think he's lifting his game to a level that he should be. Your thoughts on him and where you see his future?
The simple thing is, I know he was sold on from Real Madrid, but I think he was so successful there despite being sold was because he had a very clear defined role with Real Madrid. He had a very clear defined role at Verderum before that. He has a very clearly defined role with Bayern, with the German national team. With us, I don't think he has a clearly defined role. And I think that he's a player who needs that. Some players can be very, very flexible throughout a match, not just throughout a season. I don't think Ozil's that kind of player. And I think because of that reason, you're never going to get the best of him. And he should be sold. It's not because he's not a good player. It's not because he's not very, very creative. It's not because he's not intelligent. It's because a lot of our players don't fit the roles they're playing. And I think that's part and parcel, a larger reason as to why we're not seeing the best out of our players on the whole in the system that, or whatever system you want to say we're trying to play. I think that's part of the problem. We said the same thing about Granit Xhaka, where if he plays a different role in a different system, you'll get more out of him. People said the same thing about Aaron Ramsey, Theo Walcott, about basically almost every player we actually ever have currently. But I think Ozil is almost the prime example of he can be so good, but two things. One, we're not allowing him to be, and two, he's also not allowing himself to be, because I think he's such a confidence player where once he says he doesn't put his head down, but once he put, you can look, you see him on the pitch. Once he puts his head down, that's it, he disappears. And he disappeared the entire match today. And this is a match where you need someone of his experience and creativity and intelligence on the ball to show up, and he didn't. I think part of that reason is because of how he was utilized. It didn't really give him a chance to, but also just because he's not happy with his role doesn't mean you then can't try to perform. And I think that's the problem. Because when he's not happy with what you're doing with him, he then doesn't give 100% on the pitch, and then it becomes a two-folded problem. You know what I mean? Does that make sense to you? So
I want to just before I move on to cut, I do just want to dig into your tactical brain again there, because if you look at the best clubs in Europe, and you know, sadly I have to put a couple of English clubs into that as well. No, not Man City or Spurs. But if you look at the Chelseas and you look at the Juventuses and you look at the Barcelonas, the Real Madrids, the Monacos, even the Dortmunds, has the game moved on? I mean, you know, are we putting too many eggs in one basket of a number 10?
Yes, I think so. You and I have had this talk before. Yeah. I think you can still have what you would broadly define as a number 10, but they have to be flexible, both tactically in the bigger picture and also as an individual player. They have to be more versatile as a player. And I don't think Ozil is. When you look at the likes of Kevin De Bruyne and Christian Eriksen, Gylfi Sigurdsson, Emil Forsberg, at RB Leipzig, these are players who can affect the game in multiple areas and in multiple ways. It's not just they get the ball, they pick up their head, and then they make a pass. That's what you would call a more traditional number 10, and I think Ozil is, but I think that football is constantly evolving. Mobility is a hugely important aspect and trait that players need. I don't think Ozil doesn't have enough of it, and I think that's why it's not working. The likes of Eden Hazard, as we've mentioned before, those players are flourishing. Even though they're number 10s, they're not being deployed essentially just as, the tactical pivot, and they're just spraying balls. It's different now. And that's what I mean before by we're not allowing him to shine, because we're not playing that way, and that's the only way he can play, and it's just not working.
So. I think you're right, yeah. And I think the fact that the likes of the powerhouses of European football, like Fenerbahce, are apparently the rumoured destinations for Mesut if we move on, I think that says quite a lot about his current form and application. Still, he makes a very, very good Adidas advert, so that's what's important in life. And his clothing range is lovely as well. Carl, I digress. Pick on another player. We sort of spoke previously on before the show about Olivier Giroud. I am sick and tired of people who don't understand football criticising Olivier Giroud. And if you think that's arrogant of me, sorry, that's just how I feel. I think some people are completely blind to the fact that Olivier Giroud is a very, very good centre forward if the system is suited to him and if indeed the team plays to his standards. I've seen people come on this show time and time again in the chat box and tweet me directly and mock me about my dislike for the likes of Cavani and Lukaku. I would defy anyone to put those two strikers in our team and them have any sort of or any better performance than Olivier Giroud gave us today, because we seem to bypass a centre forward when we play one. And I don't understand why we do it. Now, I do understand the idea of Giroud not being suited to this particular game if we don't play to his strengths. But why is it that people just immediately jump on a player's back like Giroud when they can't see the fact that we don't work the system around him. And why do we pick him when we don't want to play to his strengths?
Well, that's the catch-22 question, isn't it, Chris? It really is. I said that, and I was saying in our group, I didn't understand why Giroud didn't come up at half-time. I genuinely did not understand. He, in the first half, I know you love him, Chris, and let's be honest, he did nothing. Like, he genuinely didn't do anything. And that's not his fault. I'm not blaming Olivier Giroud. I'm saying he didn't do anything because we didn't play towards his strengths. Now, what I'm trying to say is, if we're not going to play towards his strengths, I'm just repeating what you said. If we're not going to play towards his strengths, why is he playing? Now, if I can see it, and you can see it, and Drew can see it, and everyone in our group can see it, why doesn't Arsene Wenger see it? You know, Vertonghen and the other one had an easy game today, had an easy game because Giroud really didn't do anything. Now, you know, he's not, Giroud's not going to be the type of player to run in behind. He's not going to be the sort of player that's going to, you know, you wanted to hustle and bustle the two centre-backs, but he didn't do that today. You know, if Olivier Giroud doesn't fit into our system, we shouldn't change the way we play just for one player. And that's what I'm trying to say. You know, there are games that are made for Olivier Giroud. Most definitely. Today wasn't one of those games. And the fact of the matter is, the reason why people jump on his back because he, for so long, he was on the pitch and he didn't do anything. And I'm not saying that Giroud is a shit player. I'm simply saying that there are certain games that are tailor-made for him. Today wasn't one of them. And why he was on the pitch for so long begs belief. I just don't understand why. And I said to Steve, like Steve was saying in our group that, you know, Giroud off at halftime. I said to Steve, like, are you drinking? Because when does Arsene Wenger make a halftime substitution? It's not going to happen. The system does not fit Olivier Giroud's game that we play. You know, I don't, it just doesn't work well. Mesut Ozil, if you're going to play towards Mesut Ozil's strengths, I know we just spoke about him, he wants to be able to pass the ball to a striker that can run in onto his balls. Olivier Giroud is never going to do that. Never. As big as I am, I could probably run as fast as Olivier Giroud can. You know, it just, and so we're not going to play towards all of our players' strengths, Mesut Ozil's strengths, Olivier Giroud's strengths, Alexis's strengths. Then in the system that we have, it doesn't work. Now, not to go onto this again, but if the person picking the system is Arsene Wenger and it doesn't work, why is he not being, I mean, he is being held accountable, but why is he not being held accountable by the right people? You know, he can be held accountable to the fans. I mean, fuck all, to be honest. He needs to be held accountable to the board. The board need to come and say, why did you do this? But who on our board is going to question his tactics? Because the first thing is to throw back in their face and say, well, for 10 years it worked, and now it's not.
Hmm. And the thing is as well, is if you look at players who, you know, can adapt to a system, you know, you look at what Man United have done with Zlatan, to be honest. I'm not for a second suggesting Giroud is that level of player, because he's clearly not. But it's all about, you know, Zlatan's a big guy who plays up front, but they play to his strengths. They play it into him. They use his hold-up play. They'll cross the ball in earlier. You know, it's using that player. And Giroud as a finisher is one of the better players we've got. But that he's not going to finish when the ball's up here and, you know, 12 yards above his head. It's just pointless. Equally, he's not going to finish if you put it 20 yards in behind for him to run onto. I completely agree. And I don't know about you guys, but I don't want anyone running onto my balls, personally. Drew, talk to you about the midfield too. I have an issue with Xhaka Ramsey. It doesn't work for me. I get pelters on this show, week in, week out. Yes, John Welsh, I'm looking at you, for criticising Ramsey. I thought he was decent today. I thought he, you know, he started well. He definitely faded, but I thought he started well and he was consistently, you know, fairly good today. Xhaka, I thought, was, you know, poor at best, if I'm honest. Yes, he had a, you know, put his foot in a bit, but again, the quality's lacking. What do you think we should do with this midfield too? I mean, clearly none of the four players we've got there are the right blend. I genuinely believe that.
The midfield balance got completely thrown out the window the last 2 years when Santi Cazorla wasn't fit. Simple as
exactly.
That.
And that's the issue.
And I know there's going to be some at ABW, mainly Jace, who won't agree, which is fine. But the fact is, the midfield system was created for Santi Cazorla coming in that deeper role. And once we lost it, the midfield system completely, the wheels fell right off the bus. Because there's no player good enough to play that role, and then you have a completely unbalanced midfield that no longer works. Like, the closest you could maybe get to it is if you had a fit Jack Wilshere, maybe picking up the Cazorla mantle, or you have to go with something like a like an Ox Jocko, where, or not even, because then you have no one really can track back enough. The problem is, we don't, if you look at, I hate to use an example, but if you look at any of the teams that are ahead of us right now, they all have a clearly defined midfield player whose one job is to sit between the back four and the midfield and break up play. We don't have that, and that's part of the why we have a midfield imbalance. For me, that's a huge issue. And if you look in previous teams, we always had that player. Even Alex Song was that player for a while. And then we had Gilberto Silva before that. And you had Patrick Vieira before that. Even Emmanuel Petit. You know what I mean? You have those players. We don't have that player who has that clear defined role. But again, as we said before, not enough, you know, not enough players in our system know what their role is. And that's part of the problem. So obviously our midfielders are being instructed to not just sit deep and clear. You know, even we had, the only time Francis Coughlin was worth a damn for the team was when he had that clearly defined role. Now his role has clearly shifted, and now he's become a worse for wear player. So I think that's another prime example. I think it's just, we don't have that balance in midfield. And I think I've been saying it for maybe 2 years now, that I think the only way we can get the best out of the midfield is we have the club is you have to play a three in midfield in a 4-3-3. That's the only way. But then the problem is Wenger won't do it because a 4-3-3 doesn't shoot Olivier Giroud, and it doesn't shoot Mesut Ozil either. So that if you feel like you're forced to play those players, he will never shift. I think we switched to the back three because I think he tried to find a way to still fit Giroud and Ozil into the team. But I think if you have to stray away from that and look at your team and say, I have more players that fit a particular system than two of them who don't, what's the logical choice to make? I just don't think that our midfield just doesn't work without Cazorla, period. It doesn't matter who you play, doesn't matter what the approach that you take, whether it's counter attack without the ball, if you want to do possession, doesn't matter. The midfield just isn't working. And you can't win football matches, you can't win leagues if your midfield isn't on song for most of the season. That's the most key area in football tactically, it's midfield. And our midfield just doesn't work without it. So unless we either find a Cazorla replacement of proper quality, or you have to stray away from the system that relies on that kind of player and you switch the system. It has to be one or the other.
We could talk about players that are and aren't at the club. I mean, the fact is we've got the squad we've got right now, so we have to kind of suck it up until the summer. But I suppose we should talk about some positives. Shepherd positives, he says. Karl Petacek, credit where credit's due, kept us in the game for long periods. Well, I say kept us in the game, kept the score down is probably a better way of putting it. But he had a very good game. He's been criticised this season, a lot by me, by a few other people, in fact. I'm still not sure there's any point in him standing in the goal when there's penalties. I really don't think there's any point in being there. But he showed today that there's still life in the old dog. The only thing I would say, just to counterbalance that, is what he did today is what he's good at, isn't it? You know, shot stopping in the air. It's when things are low down and when he's got to come out and claim things that I worry. Your sort of thoughts on his performance today overall?
He was brilliant today. He kept us in the game. I think he kept it from being a high scoreline. That easily could have been 4-5-0, definitely, 100%. And he's good at reactionary shot stopping. That's what you find, that when the ball's at him, or he's very good at leaping and being very quick reactionary. You're right what you say. If it's low down, he hasn't got a hope of saving it. And that's for penalties. No, he's faced maybe, 10 or 12 penalties since he's come, and he hasn't saved one of them, which is, I know goalkeepers are not expected to save penalties, but for him, I can't remember him actually even being close to saving any penalties. So that's my issue. But yeah, you're right. I haven't been his biggest fan this season either. I don't think he's played very well in some games. But today, give credit where credit's due. You know, you don't always play well for the whole season, but I guess today when we needed him, he pulled some good saves out of the bag, and he kept it, whether it's respectable or not losing, whatever, but he kept it kind of respectable today.
Well said. And Drew, speaking of respectable, we have to come down to the other end of the spectrum. I listened to people have a dig at me. I don't know if I was on the last show. Whenever the show was, I can't remember. People said to me, had a dig at me, and said that the last three games were proof, particularly after the semi-final, that Gabriel was Arsenal quality. I would like to say today is proof that every dog can have a good game. Every dog can have two or three good games. Gabriel is not good enough for Arsenal. Thoughts?
No, I agree with you. I think, honestly, in any walk of life, when it comes to a job or a career, or especially in football, you need a body of work to be able to say something of that sort of level of statement. You can't just say because he played well for two or three matches that he's good enough for Arsenal, when you can multiply that number by 10 and say this is why he isn't good enough for Arsenal. And I think in that argument, you have to side with the fact that he isn't good enough. I think when you're a center back who has some semblance of experience, you can expect them to have a good showing every once in a while, of course, because if you can rely on that experience, then you know you're not going to make mistakes. But I think today proved why he shouldn't be there. He was directly responsible for the first key chance that they had when he kept Kane on sides. He was directly responsible when he turned the ball over in Spurs' half that led to Song's breakout down the right-hand flank. And then he was directly responsible for giving away the penalty. So three key chances they had were directly falling directly on him. And that's not to say he's the only scapegoat for the match, because I don't think anyone would have turned up except Petr Cech. But the problem is that in a match like this is why I thought that, you know, I don't know. He's not good enough, but the only way to solve it is that you just have to do something we're not going to do. It's spend enough money to get players in who are good enough. And he's fine for depth, but in a match like this, he's not fine. I think a player like Gabriel can play against a team who aren't direct. Maybe a team that wants to maybe lump things in the air a little bit more than Spurs are going to want to do. But on the balance of it, Gabriel's not good enough. I don't think three matches are going to change that period. I think more evidence is on the fact that he isn't good enough. And I think you can say that for maybe more players in the 11 to the people want to talk about, perhaps. But yeah, to be simple, he's not good enough.
It's another player for me that if you saw that a team like Stoke or West Brom signed Gabriel, you'd go, oh, well, yeah, that's a decent little signing. Arsenal level, it's just another Oleg Luzhny Nelson Vivas, isn't it? You know, a player who might have been sort of half decent on the continent for a lesser side makes a step up. I mean, no disrespect to Villarreal, but you know, the better centre back was Mustachio. I've made up a name there. We didn't go for him, so you know, I God bless, and I absolutely adore our good friend Mr. Oji, who I would sell my soul for that man if it came to it. But he believes a lot in the stats metrics element of things, and he can produce stats for you for money. And he's not the only one, by the way. I'm just using him as an example. I think you can prove anything with stats. I think you can prove anything, good or bad. I'm all for how a player moves, how he reacts, and how I want to sort of transition this in is to the goals. And Carl, we'll come on to the penalty in a minute, but I mean, the first goal, you know, it just comes down to, again, for me, with Gabriel is at fault in it, Kieran Gibbs is at fault in it, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain put my teeth in. There was just a lazy wave at the leg. The point I was going to make about Gabriel, players that are not technically good enough, you know, the way they defend, the way they face up the ball. What was your kind of thoughts on that first goal?
I like how you strategically left out Koscielny as well.
And oh, no, no, absolutely. Because, no, I agree. Yeah, yeah.
Koscielny, for me, he's ball watching, and I don't understand. And I love Koscielny. I think he's brilliant. And we all say that he's one of the best defenders in the Premier League. Lately, no, he's not. He really isn't. And that doesn't make him a bad defender. It just means at the moment, and you could say this for the whole team, he is not playing well. For me, how Eriksen literally walked through our team, I just don't understand. I get that when people get into the box, they're scared to make a challenge. I get that because no one wants to give away a penalty. But the fact of the matter is, don't just let someone just walk through your team. And then when the shot comes and then Cech saves it, why is our players so static? And then Ali's the first one to the ball. Like, I don't get why. You see Cech save it and your immediate thought is not to rush the ball to get it out of the way of danger.
I'll tell you why, Carl, not to interrupt. It's because none of our players, from a defensive standpoint, want to take responsibility for things. I'll say that. Please continue.
Agree.
No, but you're right, Drew. And you're very, very right. But like, I just don't understand how you had Koscielny ball watching. You had Gabriel ball watching. You had Oxlade-Chamberlain, where if he goes with his left foot, he's clearing that. You're right what you say, Chris. A lazy swing with his right foot doesn't do anything. Why are you not on your left foot? With his left foot, he's clearing that. 100%, he's going for it. I just don't understand why none of our players were not reactionary to that ball. Everyone just stopped. And you think it's almost like they're doing the mannequin challenge in the box. Like, I don't understand why time and time again this happens. You know, it's just really, really bad. And I looked at the goal and I was, when it replayed again, I was like, hold on, Ali's got like four players around him and not one of them moved towards him. It's just really, really weird how that happens or why the fuck, you know, our defenders not being drilled on that. As soon as the ball is saved, turn around, kick it, get it out of harm's way. But no, our players stand there and the attacking player, Dele Alli, is the one that gets it. It's so weird how that happens.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think, and again, I'm not leaving out Cos. I just forgot he was there. It's just it all, doesn't it? Drew, the point I was making about Gabriel and you know, as I say, that you can look at a player on paper and say statistically he does good jobs or provides a good service, as it were, when he's performing for his club. What you can't prove with stats, unfortunately, is the inability to make a challenge correctly. I've seen a lot of people say that Harry Kane dives. Okay, fine. Seriously, get over yourselves. It's a penalty. End of story. Okay. Is Harry Kane a slack-jawed simpleton mong? Yes, absolutely. Is he hugely overrated, in my opinion? Yeah, absolutely. Was it a penalty? Yes, it was. Because Gabriel makes a completely ridiculous challenge. And if you watch it slowly again, not only does he make a ridiculous challenge, his body shape is all wrong. He goes to the wrong foot. And he actually kicks Kane after the ball is gone. That's the bit I really can't get my head around. You know, when a player goes through somebody, takes them out, smash, fine. You get those sort of challenges. I watched the Celtic Rangers game yesterday. There was a challenge from, the guy's name escapes me, Siminovic, I think his name is, the centre-half. He comes in and knee nails a Rangers player, fucking goes through him, takes everything, ball, man, the lot. Gabriel, it just waves a foot. It's honestly, if that happened in Sunday League, I'd have a player up against a wall. Thoughts on that pathetic attempt at a challenge?
It's just lazy defending. And a smarter defender would realize that if I'm going to be late to the challenge, the thing to do isn't to swing my leg and hope to God that I somehow then miss the player after the ball's passed me. It's you don't make the challenge, you adjust your position so as to not allow the player to get the cross through across the face of goal. He doesn't do that. It's just lazy. And that goes back to the point where that's also, more or less, that's not him taking responsibility of making the right decision. He's just hoping that when he swings his leg, that Kane's going to dive. I think that's actually what he was hoping for. I'm going to go in for the challenge and maybe he'll dive and maybe I'll get off scot-free. I think he thinks that like halfway through. It's just a better defender doesn't make a poor choice like that. It's that simple. Someone who is smarter doesn't do that. There's nothing really more to say on the matter, to be honest with you. We don't have to dissect it or anything like that. It was just lazy, poor defending. Also, nice job saying slack jaw. You've become more pirate every day.
Well, I mean, you got to say something, haven't you? But I agree with you. I mean, if you know, you don't see the top class defenders across Europe make that sort of challenge. You know,
you don't.
This is why I get really pissed off when people tell me that Vincent Kompany's world class, because that's the sort of challenge that he makes. You know, it's not the sort of challenge that Mats Hummels, who I don't rate that highly. But
you don't rate him, but how many times has Mats Hummels made a last ditch tackle in the box? It's perfect. It's about intelligence. I think in Kompany's defense, I think he was a better defender before he had injury issues, but that's not here nor there.
Oh, he's very, very good. It's just I get so tired of people saying he's world class. I mean, even David Luiz doesn't make challenges like that anymore, you know? And that's I think that's the bit that really can't get my head around. Young and it's not just the age thing. I mean, you know, there's a lad at PSG, Presnel Kimpembe, you know, the kid's 19. He wouldn't make a challenge like that, you know? It's just basic. So basic.
So what's it down to, Chris? Is it down to coaching? Is it down to ability? What is it?
I think that's down to ability.
It's both, I think. I really do think it's both. I mean, you know, I do have sort of some issues with people when they say, oh, well, it's clear that the players are not coached. I just think that is moronic in the extreme. Players are coached at every level. You know, players are coached defensively, you know, offensively, the whole lot. Whether they're coached correctly and to the right standards, that's the question you should be asking. Okay. You know, and that for people to say this lazy argument of, oh, Arsene Wenger doesn't do defensive coaching, it's just so stupid. You know, it's a very, very stupid argument. I do agree that it's not done to the standards it should be by the coaches we should have in place. I agree with that. But to say he doesn't do it, it's just a lazy argument, in my opinion. Carl, okay, so we're not going to give them any credit because if you want that from a podcast, listen to one that isn't Arsenal-based because, frankly, I have nothing to say about them. I did enjoy Mesut Ozil blowing a kiss to one of their fuckwit fans. That was quite amusing. I did enjoy that first half. What I didn't enjoy is this this overbearing sort of ridiculous power shift bollocks. You had some dickheads with placards. We know all about that, don't we? But and also, of course, you saw some of our fans, because they're not fans, lighting up Highbury and the Emirates with ridiculous sort of manager out projections, shall we say. Do you have any concerns about this, you know, being a long-term issue, or do you see this as a temporary issue where, you know, fine, they've got the better of us for one season, whoop-de-doo, let's release a DVD and fuck off?
For me, it all depends, and, you know, we might have to talk about it now, on whether Arsene Wenger stays. I mean, I think they're going to be severely hampered by their new stadium because, you know, if you should listen to certain podcasts that Steve is on and you listen to him talk about, you know, the amount of money they're going to have to spend and how they need extra money because, you know, the devaluation of the British pound due to Brexit. And, you know, they're going to end up having to sell their best assets, which is some of their players. So I truly think that they will suffer. For me, it does depend on the manager. It really does, because if he's got to be able to, I mean, let's face it, he's staying. If anyone thinks that he's not staying, then you need to really just accept it and move on. The guy is staying, but therefore he needs to, now we know he's staying, he needs to make the difficult choices. There's certain players in that team who are quote unquote first teamers that need to go. You know, he needs to make the difficult choice and sell these players. Now, Chris said at the beginning of the show that if Mesut Ozil wants to go, let him go. And to quote Jason Davis as well, if Alexis Sanchez doesn't want to stay, then he can go fuck himself. You know, at the end of the day, we need to get that money and invest it wisely. Whether we do that or not, we don't know. But if these players don't want to play for us, then get players that do want to play for us. Get players that we need. Not players, you know, not just a name, players that we actually really, really need. You know, we need, me personally, I think we need two centre midfielders. We need a striker. Mm-hmm. Not a centre forward, we need a striker. We do need a proper defender, a centre back, because we need to decide on what formation we're going to play next season. Will we play 4-2-3-1? Will we play 3-5-2? Will we play 4-4-2? I think Arsene Wenger needs to settle on what formation he's definitely going to play next season and then buy players towards that formation. You know, he needs to make a difficult decision. You know, is Per Mertesacker good enough to remain as a player? You know, is Santi Cazorla, how many games is he going to play? Are you going to build your midfield around a 32-year-old? Is Aaron Ramsey good enough to play for us? Should Gabriel stay? You know, is Hector Bellerin's head being turned by Barcelona? Is Olivier Giroud good enough to stay at the club? Is Danny Welbeck good enough to stay at the club? Is Theo Walker going to say that? I could name so many players, and Arsene Wenger needs to make the difficult decisions because we can't have passengers anymore. We can't have a squad full of squad players, if that makes sense. Like, for me, you need to be able to get those stars in our team. And if Mesut Ozil, how many times have we said this season that he hasn't turned up to big games? He just goes missing in games. Now, we can't afford to have a luxury player like Mesut Ozil as a passenger in the team. You know, he should be our talisman, but yet he's not being that person. He's not doing what we require him to do. And the reason why Arsenal are so low down is not just because of Mesut Ozil, don't get it wrong. I do think that Arsene Wenger is hugely to blame. It is, because ultimately he's the one that picks the team. Ultimately, he's the one that picks the tactics. Ultimately, he's the one that gives the players instructions on what to do. The players are not absolved of what they do. They clearly have to take the blame as well. But for me, if you look at everyone, Arsene Wenger is the person that ultimately is to blame. But at the same time, he has to make really difficult decisions this summer into who stays and who goes.
Agreed. Yeah, I'm going to have to call out somebody here. I'm going to have to, because I've been very quiet this week, but I'm going to have to rant at Mr. Welsh here. John, I love you, but what you're saying is rubbish. I'm sorry. It's rubbish. This whole idea that Arsene Wenger can't motivate players or can't change players it's just no. I'm not buying that. And anybody in the chat room that wants to say to me, "Oh, you're deluded. You're following Wenger," or, go for it. I don't give a fuck. I don't care what anyone thinks of my view on that. It's rubbish. If he was that bad a manager, if he was that poor a manager, he wouldn't have been in the job as long as he has. He wouldn't have motivated the size that he has in the past. And I know some people say, yeah, well, it's changed now. I get that. Totally agree with that, you know. But to say, if you give him the players that he can, you know, that essentially that we do need, that he can't achieve with them, I'm sorry, I don't buy that. And this is nothing personal against John. It's just the point he's made. I love John to bits.
But I think the problem with that, Chris, is I think a lot of the problem is we can all sit here and say, you know, if we go out and get the players we need, can Wenger turn around? Some people say yes, some people say you can't. I think you can't. But the problem is, the base problem is, Wenger can't go out and get the players we actually need. That is the base issue.
Exactly. But yeah, the problem I agree.
But there's also no evidence that if he gets those players, that anything will change. But we can't get to that point because we don't get the first. We don't get the first half of that argument. We don't get to see the players that we actually need. We did need a Granit Xhaka this summer. I don't care what anybody tells me. I've said that since the moment we were linked with him.
You're right.
There's other players we need that we won't go out and get that we've been linked with that we've overpassed. Julian Jacks is a prime example. Mm-hmm. You know, I have some reservations about Jacks, and you know them. But on the whole, he would be better than any other wide player option we have at the club currently, and that still is a signal of progress. Considering how much money we could have gotten for it, we're idiots for not doing it. It's things like that make you question: Does Wenger, can he identify the players we actually need? And I don't think he can anymore. I think that's one of the biggest issues of all.
But Drew, aren't you contradicting yourself? Because you just said that Arsene Wenger can't go and get the players we need, but then he just said that he won't go and get the players we need. So it's one of the two. Either, you know,
he can't. So he can't. So we don't. And he'll find some sort of reason. I still think it's not the fact that he won't do it.
Do you know what I think it is? Do you know what I think it is? I think he does identify the players that we need. I don't want to go too much into depth of this because people will start going, oh, you're ITK. We were offered Alexandre Lacazette last summer. Okay, I know that as a fact. I know the club spoke to him. I know the manager spoke to him. I know the deal was on the table. Okay, if anyone wants to know where I got that information, I'm not going to tell you. I know it. It's a fact. Okay, if you don't believe me, that's up to you. We were offered the player. The player was keen. We were interested. It was Arsene Wenger that decided he didn't want to do that deal.
Which is ridiculous.
And I agree with you, Drew, 100%. The only question I have to ask is, why did he decide not to do that deal? And the thing that I worry about Arsene, and this is where I do agree with John, and this is where John's point is valid for me, this is where a director of football could be our biggest signing this summer. And now, if Arsene Wenger doesn't like it, as much as I love Arsene, as much as the things he's done for this club are great, if Arsene is not willing to accept a director of football, he has to go. End of story. There's no argument for that about it. If you have a director of football, and I'm not going to bang on about David Dean again because it's a tired old argument and he wasn't exactly a saint. But the one thing that David Dean did when he was at the club is he would say to Arsene, right, there's a player you like here. He's affordable. Yeah, it might push our budgets a little bit, but you know what? He scored 20 plus goals a season. He's been quality for the last three seasons. You know, he's a French international, and we can negotiate with Leon at the right price. Leon have basically said to us, if you want the player, he's theirs. He's going to walk away this summer. Drew, you know, he's could well replace Aubameyang if he's Dortmund or go to Athletic Madrid. Exactly. And I just look at it and I go, what, you know, that's where you need a Monchi or, you know, somebody of that description to come into the club and say, Arsene, it's not your decision anymore. Your job is to coach the team. Your job is to coach the players. Your job is to get the best out of what we sign for you. Now, you can identify those players. You can give us your opinion because you know more about football than we'll ever know. But when you tell us that he's a player you like, make sure he is the player you like because we're going to go and sign him for you.
But I think John just brings up the perfect point is that the issue is that Wenger is so dug into his position at the club and how highly respected he is at board level. If we go out and get a DOF, it's going to be the fact that the club are going to say, okay, Wenger, pick who you want for director of football. And then it achieves nothing because Wenger still holds the position of power overall. And that's the biggest issue. Yeah. So at that point, John is correct. The problem is, and that's the other argument, is that people will say, oh, well, you know, if Wenger retires and he should go up to the board. No, because if he goes up to the board, then Wenger will want to pick the manager that he wants to be, and not necessarily might not have the direction the club need to go in. For me, that's the biggest problem of all. Overall, Wenger has been given too much power, and that is all the issues that we now are dealing with year on year are because of that one fact. we allowed the manager to basically become the owner, principal of the club, and that's the biggest issue.
You see, I'll even take it one step further. You know, you said, talk about, oh, this player's affordable. I was just at the end of the season, Arsene Wenger, what positions do you need us to buy? And Arsene Wenger should say, oh, we need a striker, we need a centre mid, we need a defender, blah, blah, blah. That should be the end of it. Then he should be presented with a first option, a second option, and a third option. So of this list that I've given to you, what players do you want? He shouldn't know. Arsene Wenger should have no idea how much the player costs, how much wages they run, and that's
it shouldn't matter. It's not his job to matter.
Yeah, but that's the problem. He does think about
correct.
That. He does,
I agree, but it's not his. That's not in his job description as a manager of a club.
Oh,
it should not be. It should. I know you know that. I'm just reiterating the fact that it's ridiculous that it's come to that. That's what makes me so angry about it. You know what I mean? And I know you agree. I know John agrees. I know Chris, to a certain extent, will probably agree with that as well. But it's the fact that that's what's boiled down to is the issue. One of many issues.
I think the biggest issue I have, and, you know, John's hit the nail on the head there, put aside your affection for the man. John, it's not about the affection for the man. It's pointless. You know, I see people bang on week after week. Oh, let's go and get Max Allegri. You really seriously think Max Allegri is going to manage a club that's run like ours is?
There's
absolute
no
horseshit. You're deluded. You know, people say to me week after week, oh, you're deluded, you're Wenger in, you're this, you're that. No, I'm not. I'm realistic. No manager is going to take this job in the current structure. At the board level, you know, Ivan Gazidis level, all of those levels, unless we start making changes. And this is the argument that I'm making. If you say to us, and look, you know, you've had essentially a dictatorship, you know, you have picked your own boss, you have had your own CEO, you have had your own coaching staff. We're going to change that now. You're either on board with it or you're not. Now, I personally think that Arsene, he might not want to be on board with it, but I think he's a very intelligent man. He'll look at it and go, well, there's not really any other jobs out there for me. He does love the club. I genuinely believe that. He wouldn't have stayed as long as he has if he hadn't. He certainly wouldn't put up with the amount of shit from some of our fuckwit fans if he didn't. So, fine, okay, you've got a one-year deal. I wouldn't give him 2 years. People say to me all the time, oh, you know, you want change, but you want him to stay for 2 years. No, I don't. You give him 1 year and you say, Arsene, this is how we're going to do things. You know, we will bring in a director of football. He will make decisions. Now, if it comes out in 5 years that the board have restricted what we spend or have restricted the manager in some way, some people are going to look really bloody stupid in a couple of years' time. If that isn't the case, and, you know, and the manager has been wholly responsible, then he has to fall on that sword. I completely agree. But you have to try, and Drew's point and Carl's point is completely valid. We've been in a holding pattern for too long where we've let Arsene control too much for too long. And I'm just saying, if you change that and you say, right, we're not going to let you make those decisions anymore, you can have your 3, 4, 5 options and we'll get the best one we can. Completely agree with you, Carl. You know, I think that's the way you have to do it. That for me is the only way you can do it if he stays. Because if he stays in the current guise, then we will be here in a year's time. So, you know, accept it. And I just think the idea of drafting in another super manager just because he's had a brilliant season at Juventus, and he has, I genuinely do not think, and I know people will say to me, offer him the 8 million plus another 2 that we're giving Arsene Wenger. I don't think that's what he's after. A manager like that is not motivated by money. He's motivated by success. And we are a club set up to fail right now.
But another problem past that, and that's a completely valid point, is the fact that, do you know the changes we would need at the player personnel level for Max Allegri to come in and actually be successful to the team? Because I could maybe name 2 players that we currently have now that would fit into a Max Allegri side. That's exactly. Another issue that people aren't getting. Everyone was saying, you know, and you and I, Chris, banter back and forth in the debate back about Pep Guardiola, but everyone wanted Pep to come in the summer. The problem is, Pep could not get a tune out of his team. He can't get a tune out of a City team with a better attack than we do, but because he plays such a specific brand of football that he needs 1 to 11 to be a specific type of player for it to work. Allegri is very similar in that regard. Most managers are similar in that regard. So while I want Wenger to go, I'd rather have Arsene Wenger than Eddie Howe, if that's what it comes down to it. You know what I mean? But that doesn't mean I'd want Wenger to stay. It's not convoluted, but it's convoluted at the same time.
So. None of us are sitting here saying that we want this to continue in its current guise.
Whoever is in the chat that keeps saying we're AKB, that's not the case.
No.
It's just, you know, it's not that's cut and dry.
Yeah, but we've been here for the past, what, 4 or 5 years, saying exactly the same thing.
Yes.
So you got to think about, and you know, I love when Danny says this is actually true. You know, we've been here for so long, and if you change, all the players have been changed. You know, the coaching staff has been changed. The board, to an extent, has been changed. The one ever present is Arsene Wenger, and the results still make the same because we still haven't lifted the Premier League trophy or the Champions League. So who is ultimately to blame? It's got to be Arsene Wenger. And like I'm with you, Chris, the guy has earned the right to leave respectfully. Most definitely, he's got the right to be respectfully. But change has to happen. And end of the day, I think it's just stubbornness. If he, you know, I personally think he's going to stay. But if he, when he does stay, I think it's a stubbornness where he still believes that he can change the team. He still believes he can turn the team around. You know, my thing to him would be, what have you done in the past 5-6 years to prove that you are the person to change this team?
I genuinely thought you were going to break into Eddie Murphy. What have you done for me lately? if you haven't seen that sketch, do look it up. I think you're absolutely right. And again, you know, none of us are saying we're the bloody voice of Arsenal. It's our opinions. You know, people tune in for our opinions. Some people agree with us. Some people disagree with us. You know, me and John are not going to do pistols at dawn just because we disagree. You know, it's if you put something in the chat box, you've got the right to that opinion. I do think that some people... I know, Drew, we discussed this previously, and Carl, I think some people are very reactionary. I do think it's very easy to sit there after today and go, oh, it's all shit again. A week ago, we were all upbeat and loving life. You know, I do think...
wasn't.
Well, you weren't, though. That's because you have a football brain.
Depends on who you ask.
I think some people, you know, some people only watch Premier League football and they only watch Arsenal and that's how they view it and it's black and white, and I get that, and I'm not saying that, you know, because other people watch other football they understand anymore, but my personal opinion is we do, you know. I think when you have a broader knowledge of football, you can sort of see where things are right or wrong, and clearly at our club there's a lot of things that are wrong right now, and things have to change, and if Arsene isn't on board with that, is he a stubborn old goat? Of course he is. You know, he's been paid £8 million to do what he's been doing for 20 years. You know, I don't think anybody else would be quite happy to do the same. But we'll take some questions and then we're going to bugger off because I want to watch PSG. So let's take some questions. So if you have got a question, put it in the box. We'll do our best to answer it as quickly as we can. Jace, I'm not answering that shampoo question you get. Marble Horse TV, what needs to change? What needs to change, not just on the pitch, but off it? I think we've kind of covered that, haven't we, Carl, with the idea that we
know what needs to happen, but whether it will happen or not is a different story.
Agreed. Some bloke called Danny, don't know who he is, sounds like a wrong one. Does this affect how you feel about the final? I think we'll get smashed. Danny, you miserable shit. Drew, to you, I personally actually, it would just be typically Arsenal to go win this final. I'm not disappointed, that's the wrong word. I'm not fearing it. I think on our day, we could beat anyone. That's part of the frustration.
I think on our day, we probably can show up, but I don't think we will. I think Chelsea have too much for us. I think if you watch their match today against Everton were very, very stubborn defensively for 70 minutes, 65 minutes. Chelsea still found the win, and when they got that first goal, they went on to get a second, and then they went on to get a third. I think on the balance of form, motivation, managerially speaking, even individual players that have to be highlighted, I think Chelsea tick all the boxes. I don't see us winning it. We can make it difficult for them. I don't think we will make it difficult for them. I don't expect to win. It doesn't mean I'm going to think we're going to go out and lose 5-0. I just don't see us winning. So.
Yeah, fair answer. Sir Governor 666, Metallica all day long. Sorry. I do like Megadeth, but Metallica for me, I have a whole sleeve devoted to them, for God's sake. I don't know if you can see that. There's my Metallica sleeve. So, next question. Ashley Gray is a new name. Who deserves to stay at Arsenal next season? Carl, how long you got? I'd ship out. I think I counted 9 I'd get rid of. I don't know if you want to list who you would get rid of, but there's 9 for me that have come to the end of their cycle.
This should be good. Okay. Let's go for goalkeepers first. Ospina, does he deserve to stay?
We'll go.
Yeah, he stays. Martinez stays.
He's going to go, though, isn't he?
Yeah, he's going to go.
he
deserves to stay, but not as a starter. Debucci, yeah. No. Gibbs, It depends on what formation.
No.
Okay, yeah. Saka, no. Because he hasn't kicked a ball this season. So what has he done to deserve a new contract? So, you know, why should he stay? Gabriel, no. Koscielny, yes. Rob Holding, yes. Monreal, yes. Mustafi, yes. Bellerin, yes. Jenkinson, no. Ramsey, God, Jesus, he's going to kill me. Nope. Mesut Ozil, no. Chamberlain, yes. Santi, doesn't deserve a new contract.
You keep him on the basis that you could get the best out of him.
I would have a patchy play.
You don't rely on him. Agreed. You don't rely on him. Yeah, I agree.
Xhaka, yes. Coquelin, no. El Nene, yes. Alexis, no, you can go. I'm genuinely kind of bored of Alexis now. I'm bored of this talk. He's not going to stay, so just let him go. Get as much money as you can for him. He needs to go. Lucas Perez, yes, because I don't think he's been given a fair chance. I genuinely don't. Olivier Giroud, does he deserve to stay at Arsenal? Depending on who we can get to replace him. If we can get a player to replace him, then no. Otherwise, yes. Theo Walcott, no. Iwobi, yes. Yaya Sanogo. And Danny Welbeck, yes, I would keep him. So, of that, yeah. What was that about?
It's a lot of players going out there, isn't it, all of a sudden? Yeah.
But we both know that Arsene Wenger and is not going to be that ruthless to get rid of all those players, and nor should he, to be honest, because you can't bring that many players into a squad and expect it to gel quickly. It's not going to happen. So we know that, okay, we can definitely say Debussy's going to go. We know that. We can definitely say that Alexis is going to go. Apart from that, how many other players are really... Gabriel, he might leave, but apart from that, how many other players are really going to realistically leave Arsenal this season? Apart from the ones maybe out of contract.
That's going to be half the battle, isn't it? It's all right saying you want him to go. You've got to find some fucker to buy him, haven't you? I mean, who the hell's going to buy half of that lot? I mean, seriously, it's worrying, isn't it? I'll state this now, 30th of April 2017. Some people probably have to be careful what they wish for. I don't think Olivier Giroud will be at this club next season. Don't think he will be at all. I think Marseille are very, very well. I'll say as much as they're in very, very what's the word? Advanced negotiations, shall we say that much? So, I think some people might be getting their wish and might look rather silly when he's gone for next to nothing. But that's just my opinion. Let's have this one as well. Pradyumna. This one's for Drew. Do Wilshire and Ox deserve new contracts? Off you go, Drew.
Wilshire doesn't. I there's only so much you can say that, you know, oh, he's has such promise, we need to keep giving him another year. For me, it's the same excuse that you give for Ramsey. You know, he's on the back of one good season, doesn't mean you keep giving him improved deals. And for me, you can't keep giving money to a player who can't even prove to last the whole season fit. We have that same issue with Cazorla now. Look what it's done to us. So I think that Wilshire has to go to a place where he can perhaps play. We can still get good value for him back because he's still young. He's English, so it will suit someone's quota as well. So I think he has to go. As for Ox, as much as I like Ox and want to think that Ox can succeed, I don't think that he's going to be... I don't think enough faith will be put in him to be the regular starter that he wants to be or needs to be. So I think we should let him go. More so because I don't want any fractions in the dressing room. Because if you have unhappy players, why have them stay? If he's unhappy, let him go. It's not for a lack of ability. I think that he could do well as a center midfielder, as more of a box-to-box type player, if you will. But I don't think he's happy. I think he has to be sold because of that. I think you have to keep the dressing room together as well. I think it's super important when you're trying to build a team.
Yeah, agreed. Rudy saying that's bollocks. Well, okay, Rudy, that's fine. We'll see who's right and who's wrong in about a month's time. I do agree on his second point, though. Somebody has pulled out Lukaku again. He was brilliant again today, wasn't he? Absolutely brilliant against another top side. I can't help. I have to get it in, don't I?
So much Rudy, Chris, wasn't he?
Agreed. Oh, touche. Hey, you've got to laugh or you'd cry, haven't you? Okay, two more, and then I'm off to watch Inter be shit. Farris Kazi, what is the main reason for the loss today?
You answer that, Chris. What do you think?
Okay. Lack of quality. lack of game management for me, which I know is a tired old thing. I don't think it's a lack of passion. I genuinely don't. I don't think anyone's ever won a game with passion alone. I think it's a collection of things. But yeah, lack of game management, lack of the right mentality, lack of focus, lack of desire, arguably at times for some players. I think you could point that finger at some players. Organisation at times. Not so much when they went out, because they played this three at the back for the last couple of games. They clearly know what they're doing, but I think lack of intelligence at using the system. Yes. So I think it's a collection of all of those things, to be perfectly honest. So sorry, can't give you a straight answer, but that's the best I can go with. Okay, John wants to know, which one will annoy you more? Not signing Schlick, Belotti, Mbappe, Lacazette, Aubameyang, Perisic, Manolas, Bakayoko, Lemar, or Yanto? All of the above, John, maybe all of the above. I don't know. I will say one thing, and maybe we'll end with this point. We'll try and finish on a positive. I think if I ask this question to you both, how confident are you that things could change in the summer, i.e. the playing squad, or indeed the backroom staff? How confident are you there'll be a shake-up? I'm actually relatively confident that actually things might change. Do either of you feel that way, or are you both still completely...
Before I answer that question, Chris, what gives you that confidence?
Some of the things you hear through the grapevine, some of the things that I'm sort of reading and listening to from people that don't have a reason to lie. Obviously nothing's 100% until it happens. But I think we're in for some very exciting players. I think that there is... I do genuinely get the impression that some of our board, I wouldn't say have grown a backbone. I think that'd be a little bit too extreme, but I do get the impression that people are aware at least that there is failure. I do have a feeling that things could change in the summer. And I think I've read a lot of things this week about people saying that we wouldn't be in for players like Kylian Mbappe. I would not necessarily agree with that. Personally, so that's what gives me the encouragement. But you know me, Carl, I'm always the optimist. I take it you're not feeling quite so good about it.
Anytime this question sort of pops up, I always think of Danny. You know, I know I shouldn't really think of Danny, but I do, because I can't see anything changing. What is going to change? We've had 10 years of this, and every season things are meant to change. Every season, we are, as Arsenal fans, we go into the season full of hope. You know, I can't remember ever been at the start of the season thinking of, well, apart from one where we didn't sign a single outfield player, that's the only time I've ever thought that we are not going to do anything. You know, and the fact that our league positioned, you know, I personally don't think we're going to finish top four this season, so it's going to be anywhere between seventh and fifth that we're going to finish. How hard is it going to be to try and attract players when you're not in the Champions League? And that was always our caveat. Our caveat was always, oh, we'll be able to attract players because we're in the Champions League. And if we're not in that competition, then how do we do that? You know, I would have loved to prefer to have been out of Europe altogether, but because we're in the final of the FA Cup, we're automatically now in the Europa League. So no matter what happens, we're definitely in Europe. I wanted to do a Chelsea this season. I wanted to have no European football and literally play one game a week all season. And unfortunately, that's not going to happen now. I mean, not unfortunately, because I would much rather sort of us win the FA Cup than sort of have been knocked out of the FA Cup at the semi-final stage. But for me, I can't see what's going to change, because why hasn't it changed it before? Why has it taken so long for Arsene Wenger to try and change it? It's just not going to change. It's the same thing all the time. And unless there are major changes, and I don't want one or two changes, I genuinely want major changes at this club, and whether that's going to happen or not, I genuinely don't know.
I think they have to, don't they? And Drew, do you want to sort of finish off on that point as well? I mean, you know, how much change are you confident will happen? How much would you like to see happen? What would have you going into the summer feeling positive again about the season? Is it as simple as winning the FA Cup, or is it a bit deeper than that?
I think it's deeper. I think change will happen, but I don't know if it's necessarily going to be the right change. I think that's the biggest problem. We talked about before, you can get a DOF in, but will it matter because if Wenger has to stay in the DOF, then it nullifies the position of DOF. You can bring in players in the summer, but if you don't use the players correctly, as we've proven in the last couple of years that we don't, that won't change anything in the results. Change is all well and good, but if it's not the actual changes that you need that are going to make a difference, it doesn't matter how much you change. So I don't know if I'm that confident, because to be honest with you, the board don't put pressure on the manager, and the manager has proven that he won't change and that he's finding it very difficult to actually compete in the league to be a competitive side, both in Europe and domestically. So what change do I have to look forward to? Unless we bring in a whole new board, a new owner, and the manager all leaves in the same summer, what's to look forward to? So to be depressing about it, that might be the case, but that's the only way I can actually look at it. There's so many issues wrong with this club. You can't possibly change them all in one summer and then magically just revamp the whole system in 2 months' time and then come out guns blazing and win the league next year. There's so many things have to be changed, from the culture to the way things run at board level, down to the training pitch and the first team, the way we run tactically, the kind of players we bring in. There's so many things that need to be changed. It can't be done this quickly. No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we seem to come on saying the same things every week, don't we? But, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, it's very easy for people to jump up and down and scream and yell abuse. And I'm sure we'll go through all that all week. And I can barely contain my excitement at the idea of Twitter this week. It's going to be fantastic, which is why I don't really go on very much at the moment, because, frankly, it's full of cunts.
Games get easier. I mean, we've got, like, Man United next. So, you know, it's not like... Yeah. Shit game.
And you know what? We'll probably turn up for that game, Carl. That's the weirdest part of this all, isn't it? You know, it's everyone. Do you remember when we went into that cup semi-final last week? Everyone written us off, and we turned up with a decent performance overall. And it's funny, isn't it? It's so funny how things just seem to go in waves.
Yeah, but it's the Mourinho factor, isn't it? But I'm sure they discussed that on the pod this week, next week.
Yeah, I mean, if we can make that fuckwit unhappy, at least that'd be something.
Yeah, that's a, you know.
Got to try and keep our sails hoisted in the positive direction, don't we? But nevertheless, there is nothing more we can say tonight, because there is nothing more to say, is that it is what it is. You know, good luck to those fuckwits. I'm sure they'll enjoy their 800 million fucking stadium that still makes them dog shit, and I'm sure they'll enjoy their cheese room, which they're having. What the fuck, seriously? But yes, they can have their 1 year. Good luck to them. I have them all over my timeline, crowing away. Oh, it's fantastic, isn't it? But remember, kids, they'll always be cocks on basketballs. So we'll leave it there. Many thanks for you for all tuning in. If you like what we do, give us a thumbs up. If you don't like what we do, fair enough. That's your entitlement to your opinion. But we'll be back after the Man United game this time next week. It is a Sunday game, isn't it? Is it another 4 o'clock?
Yeah, next Sunday, 4 o'clock.
Bloody hell, it's another podcast I'll have to reschedule. God's sakes. Arsenal, can you not play on a Sunday afternoon, please? But until then, my thanks to Carl and Drew for slumming it with me. Thank you, gentlemen.
You're
welcome.
Take care.
No worries
at all.
And as usual,
we're used to playing that Sundays, because we'll be playing Thursday, Sunday next season.
Fuck's sake, don't remind me. bring on the Europa League. Can't wait. Yes, but until next week, obviously check out our Twitter feed at the AFC Podcast. Danny's put up some short clips, versions of some rants in the past 24 hours. I think it's called ABW Dirty Soapbox. I think it's called. Have a look at that on YouTube. Tweet us your thoughts. Read all the blogs and listen to all the podcasts and do stuff, because it makes us happy. Until next time, thank you very much for joining us. We will speak to you very soon. We've been ABW Radio. Keep it Arsenal, and fuck Tottenham. Night all.
Fuck Tottenham.
If I could save time in a bottle, the first thing that I'd like to do is to save every day till eternity passes away, just to spend them with you. If I could make days last forever, if words could make wishes come true, I'd save every day like a treasure, and then again I would spend them with you. But there never seems to be enough time to do the things you want to do once you find them. I've looked around enough to know you're the one I want to go through time with. If I had a box just for wishes and dreams that had never